It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.
Evangelist Patrick Nyabeta, good afternoon to you. Welcome. Thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Hey, yes, good afternoon.
I'm well, sir. I am well. Thank you very much. All right. All right, it's our last day together, and we...
Sorry for Wednesday, man. It went beyond my expectations.
Man. Not a problem, a problem. I totally understand. It happens to everybody. Don't worry. All right, so we did agree that we're going to revisit chapter 11, right? You'll go and do some research and help us with a research understanding of what's happening in chapter 11. Am I mistaken?
Come again?
Are we on the same page?
We are in the same page, my friend.
Lovely. All right. I'm going to read again for those who may not have caught us reading it last on Monday so that they can understand what the chapter is about. It's a very brief chapter, but it's power-packed with a lot of things that are apparently confusing, but we're going to get some answers today. It reads as follows, and this is Exodus chapter 11 from the NIV. It reads, "Now the Lord said to Moses, I will bring one more plague on Pharaoh and on Egypt. After that, he will let you go from here. And when he does, he will drive you out completely. Tell the people that men and women alike are to ask their neighbors for articles of silver and gold. The Lord made the Egyptians favorably disposed towards the people, and Moses himself was highly regarded in Egypt by Pharaoh's officials and by the people. So Moses said, this is what the Lord says. About midnight, I will go throughout Egypt. Every firstborn son in Egypt will die. From the firstborn son of the Pharaoh who sits on the throne to the firstborn son of the slave girl who is at her handmill, and all the firstborn of the cattle as well. There will be loud wailing throughout Egypt, worse than there has ever been or ever will be ever again. But among the Israelites, not a dog will bark at any man or animal. Then you will know that the Lord makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel. All these officials of yours will come to me, bowing down before me, and say, go, you and all the people, go follow you. Who follow you, beg your pardon. After that, I will leave. Then Moses, hot with anger, left Pharaoh. The Lord had said to Moses, Pharaoh will refuse to listen to you, so that my wanderers may be multiplied in Egypt. Moses and Aaron performed all these wonders before Pharaoh, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let Israelites go of his country. May the Lord bless the reading of his word now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Do you want to start first, Evangel?
It's as much as we did it last time. Eh? It's a very difficult chapter to understand. But I tried and tried and tried by all means to find out, even to some other people, the major thing about the chapter. Then I came up with, we came up with such a thing like, here we are speaking about the Pharaoh who didn't know Moses, either God. Remember, there are two Pharaohs here. There was a Pharaoh in the time of Joseph. And now the Bible says, there comes another Pharaoh who knew not about God and Joseph. I came across with a chapter five. I had to go back and try and understand the lady, like the first chapters before this chapter. And I came across to chapter 5, verse 2. Chapter 5, verse 2 has got something. It says in my reading, and Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go. In other words, what I've noticed, what I noticed here is that Pharaoh was not only just Pharaoh, but he put himself in the city of God. And the people of Egypt, the people of Egypt never stopped Pharaoh in this, what he was doing. That is the reason that caused all the Egyptians to be in this curse under the what? The name of Pharaoh. Because he was not, he didn't saw him as, he didn't saw him as Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. He also saw himself as the one who is above everything in Egypt. And at the same time, he put himself in the place of God. So that, you remember, you may be, okay, let's leave that. So he placed himself in the place of God. So this is why I said I have to revisit and go back to previous chapters. What they say this Pharaoh we're talking about here is the Pharaoh who didn't know nothing about God. Neither he knows nothing about Joseph. So when we read this chapter, we find out all these things that we're talking about last time. It's not easy. It's not easy. It's not easy. When we read, we find out these things. So this is the reason. And for the reason God to harden Pharaoh's heart, it's not because it's that God, allow me to say, God saw. Because God saw in the Bangaba, Uza Ukuga or Auzu Kukuga. So there was no repentance. There was no repentance to Pharaoh. With the Enzo that he did it. That caused the Bangaba, Ezo Zindo, Zilaus, Zibangele, Egypt, Ibe under that problem. I don't know whether you are hearing me. Let's go forward again.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
All right. I don't know whether you hear me.
I hear you loud and clear. Loud and clear, Mvangela. I understand where you're coming from and I appreciate it. Let's just do this together. Chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Now the Lord said to Moses, I will bring one more plague on Pharaoh and on Egypt." One of the questions that we had from Monday is, does God not have better means of correcting people? Is destruction, plague, and mayhem the only way that God has to teach?
We will never know indlela uThixo enza izinto ngayo. We will never know. And at the same time, the reason why I'm saying that, I even had to go to visit Sodom and Gomorrah. If you see Sodom, as much as not in this, it is not in this chapter, but I try to figure it in my mind. When you see Sodom and Gomorrah the way it was destroyed, you will find that Ndobangaba uThixo kananceba. UThixo, he's a God maybe who doesn't give us a chance to say sorry. As much as the Bible it emphasizes Ndokubangaba uThixo before he did something to destroy, uqala athumela abaprofeti. He sent his prophets first so that to warn that this is what I'm going to do, this is what I'm going to do, this is what is going to take place. So if when we came to this chapter in this case of Pharaoh, kule question ibuzayo, allow me Ndakapulupondola to say uThixo, he gave this guy a freedom of choice so that aguquke, he repent, so that this thing that is going to take place under Egypt, under in his supervision, but he decided not to. That's why it affected the whole Egypt, even the firstborns, not only his firstborns, even the firstborns of Egypt, yonke. It doesn't mean that uThixo akanayo enye indlela mhlawumbe to stop anokwenza ngayo. UThixo unayo indlela okwenza ngayo into. UThixo uyakwazi ukuthetha naye. Uyaqonda? Athini ayeke ehle. For instance, uAbraham eSodom, uLothe izithunywa ziyodestroy iSodom. UThixo ushiyeka encokola noAbraham. UAbraham uthi, if by 50, would you stop? Would you destroy it? And God says no. If by 40 up until 10, meaning that uThixo is always enayinceba to not to. But the problem siye thina singafuni ukuze siye funa, we don't want to accept imesi kathi le mali bekho hlo. We don't have to accept God's mercy. Our hearts be hardened to a point that thing I've been in the point of no return. I don't know what I'm answering question.
I hear you, sir. I hear you. So one of the examples that I make for my children is when they do wrong.
When they do wrong.
I tell them, stop what you're doing. And then he says, yes, daddy. And then he
continues.
He stops. And after I look the other way, he goes back to that thing. And I say, what did I say to you? Stop that thing. And then he says, yes, daddy. And then he stops. And I go, I come back. And he's doing the same thing. At that time, when I'm beating him, when I'm beating him, I am not beating him for doing wrong.
Yes.
I am beating him for disobeying an instruction.
I like what you're saying, meaning disobeying God.
Yes.
Because most of the time,
exactly, because we all make mistakes.
Or what he disobeyed you.
Exactly.
Exactly.
So I that's how I understand what you're saying, that Pharaoh did not just find himself at the back of 10 plagues. Before we saw the 10 plagues, there were 10 warnings. Stop this thing. Yeah.
Stop what you are doing. Stop what you are doing.
Yeah. Yeah. No more enslaving my people. Let my people go. Stop enslaving my people. 10 times God said stop, and 10 times he refused. So verse 1 there, that's how I understand you saying. Am I understanding you well, Mvangile?
Yes. Can I just put this point now?
Right.
Remember, I said the people of Egypt enjoyed. Because if they stopped him, the reason why they didn't stop him, Pharaoh, is because they were beneficiaries to what Pharaoh did to the Israelites.
Right. And then the second part of verse 1 says, after that, he will let you go from here. And when he does, he will drive you out completely. A very sad state of affairs, Mvangeli, because many of us, we don't hear when people tell us nicely, "Hi, man, stop sleeping with people's wives." We don't listen. We only listen when the husbands come to shoot us in wheelchairs now. Then we're going to go around preaching and say, "Hey, stop sleeping with people's wives. It's too late for you. You're in a wheelchair. Some are in the graves." The unfortunate part is we only listen after pain. Go ahead,
The time you don't see there is pumos alone,
right?
Because you enjoy it now,
right?
So far, one never sees is pumos alendo wa yeyens,
right?
Because he was enjoying it now.
Right.
Verse 2, afterwards, he lets you go, he will surely drive you out of hell altogether.
Yeah.
In other words, the mercy of God, he never got to go, yemka totally Egypt.
Right.
And if God left the place, that place is doomed, my friend.
Okay. All right.
That place is doomed.
And then we move on to verse 3. I want us to skip to verse 3. Verse 3 says, the Lord made the Egyptians favorably disposed towards the people. And my question there was, these people who lost their wealth, the Egyptians who lost their wealth, did not give their wealth over voluntarily. God made them.
Mm.
God made them. According to them, they were going to keep their wealth. And I asked the question, Why does God make people? Why doesn't he let them do it out of their own willingness? Why does he make them, force them? That was the question. Your answer them, Mvangile.
You see, this is the point I struggled, if you remember last time. Because you used two words here. You said what? Make or made.
Mm-hmm.
I had to understand now the difference between these two words. I'm not an English. Between the make and made. Like this, from my own experience, from my own ingamango. Remember, uthixo akasifosi senze umzekelo weshumi mos ne.
Okay.
Into bangaba uthixo akasifosi uba masikhuphe isishumi. Uyaqonda? Uthixo uyakunika kuqala into agqiba ngoku athi buyisa ntoni isishumi sankulu.
Okay.
Uyaqonda? So now kule case yamaJiputa uthixo enze into bangaba azise izinto zawo kuma Israel. Remember, allow me to say it's because of bengakhange beve qala isiyalo sikabani sikaThixo. And now it will look like uThixo ubafosile. Am I right what I'm saying so?
I hear you.
It will look like God forces them to do so. As much as lanto besithethe qala into bangaba uThixo made a warning first before they did it first.
Right. So I liked what you were saying when you said you went back, because it helps to read what happened before. We are talking now at the end of the 400 years.
400
years of slaves making money and slaves making money and wealth for the Egyptians, and they work hard. They don't benefit from their hard work. Egyptians become wealthy and rich off the backs of the slaves for over 400 years. And
apartheid took us more than 100 years if we are cool. They are rich today because they clean as zele isizwe sinjani esinyama and uThixo wathula wathi cwa kakathetha.
So here we are seeing God, who is saying, he's not saying I'm going to take back all of what they have taken from you for 400 years.
Okay.
God is not saying that. He's saying, I'm just going to ask for a little bit. But they are not going to. It's like somebody who's going to go and rob you, Mvangeli. You get robbed and you come and tell me, hey, ezandwana zinpagile ezia. Those boys have robbed me. And I say, come, let's go to those boys. And when I get to those boys, Nika, give him back into Zaki. Give! And those boys will no longer be giving you voluntarily. They are now giving back your belongings at the barrel of the gun. They are afraid I'm going to shoot them. At that point, I'm no longer smiling. Did you, Nika? Stenge. Nika!
So, you might say he was in that position.
Yeah, God was saying, give them. You can't give them all of the 400 years worth, but what is there now? Nika, give. God made them. They had taken what did not belong to them off the backs of people who were treated as slaves. God is now saying, give. I'm going to make you, whether you like it or not, you're going to give them back. And that was my understanding there. I don't know what you think there, Mvangeli.
Yeah, the understanding now is the same understanding that I had at the same time. And at the same time.
Right.
Remember, I said Monday. It was Monday,
yeah.
I said Monday. The Bible was written in Hebrew.
Right.
Now the Bible was translated to our language.
Right.
And again, kwizinto apha eBhayibhileni eziye zaerwa ubhalwa, as much as we don't use those words.
Okay.
Yakhona zaerwa ubhalwa because of guqulelwe from isiHebhere to i-languages ezikhoyo. Mhlawumbi singaphuma thina sobayi-two apha nale answer siphuma nayo. Sibe singayi-understandi mhlawumbi Hebrew, Hebrewary, ibisithini kuqala. Up until I go and understand iHebrew first. In this verse, I'm not a theologian, so I will need a pastor in this one help me. It was a pastor I called, but I began phone in because the music alone was unmolshobunbuzangalo. So let's jump it for a moment.
Let's go to verse 5. Every firstborn son in Egypt will die. That's verse 5. Every firstborn son in Egypt will die. From the firstborn son of Pharaoh who sits on the throne to the firstborn son of the slave girl who is at her handmill, and all the firstborn of the cattle as well, there will be loud wailing throughout Egypt, worse than there has ever been or ever will be again. Now, the question there...
Never will be.
Yeah, the question there was... it is the Pharaoh that took a decision to disrespect God.
It is the Pharaoh that took a decision.
It is the people that Pharaoh leads, the men and women who supported the decision of Pharaoh. Why is God killing children? That was the question I asked on Monday. If we can agree that the Pharaoh is the one who is disrespecting God and the people are the ones who are supporting the Pharaoh, why is God killing children who had no part in it? Then say, what kind of a God kills children for the wrongs of grown men and women? Your answer them, Vangel.
There's a verse in the Bible, sorry, I just don't remember what it says. Le iti kakone o dada, ne? Isi dinasika uthixo uya upanisha abantwana.
Why?
Remember, kone abazali, but uthixo punish endoni abantwana.
Why does God punish children and not the sinful ones? Why is God afraid of dealing with the people who did wrong? Why does he go to the weak ones, the children? Why?
He was not afraid of dealing with Pharaoh.
Then why didn't he?
Remember, we said, Now, must we take a little bit pambilana for a moment? Kono Adam, sonke satini sasengakini.
Why?
Yeah, God. Mm. Adam sinned, but sonke satini sasengakini because of his son or some dumb ye. Uthixo ebeno dilishana no Adam, asiyeke thina. Kuba u Adam onile sonke sachaphazeleka because it is Bible sonke sonile. Sasilela eluzikweni luka Thixo. Now, if uThixo is dealing with everybody instead of dealing with uFaro, the one who sinned, because ndithexa bendithetha apha, anayi answer enophendithetha, I don't want to lie, anayi answer enophendithetha, the answer that says, kuba uFaro eyehona konda nesizwe sakhe sonke, loo nto i-end up ichaphazeleka, ichaphazela everybody, as I'll send that Tina Simbone Utigo, as if that God was unfair. Do you hear me, Lupondo?
I hear you, Mbangele. I hear you.
As I'll send that Utigo Simbone as what? As unfair God. Remember, we are dealing here with the good and the evil.
Mm.
The evil, a fool, nine banga, but Simbone Utigo as a cruel God.
Mm.
And then, Ingondo, to most of the time, it dwelled the evil. Evil ekekelele into yokuba ngaba uThixo simbone as unfair, as much as ingufaro onileyo, but uThixo wachaphazela abantu abangonanga. That is the lesson endiyibone ngolo hlobo mna to us. Izinto ezenziwe ngabantu aba previous us, we might not do those things again as we live, as much as sizenza ke as ubomi buqhubeka. Iya kwinto ethi ke Luphondwana, ngoku ayisengabantwana, ayisengoyise abonileyo. Everybody who sinned, God punishes. But the case as Egypt, uThixo, we might see him as unfair God, but mnye umntu owenze ingxaki that caused all the nation to be in that problem. Lo mpendulo ke andinayo endinokunika yona, unless ke we can go mhlawumbi siyokhangela somebody who knows better than me.
Okay. So the one thing that came when I was studying the Mvangeli is that Egypt was already a community of people that when they have given birth, they would preserve boys. These boys are the ones who would carry the birthright and who would become the pride of their families.
It is
these boys who would carry the baton and become what their fathers are. And these are the boys who would pick up and be stronger and faster than their fathers in doing whatever their fathers were doing. If the fathers were killers, these boys would grow up to be 10 times their fathers. If their fathers were rapists, these boys would grow up to be 10 times their fathers. So
I wish Messina
So now we are seeing these children, because these boys, after all is said and done, if God wanted to minimize the cruelty in Egypt, he had to make sure that there is no generation that is going to follow and continue in this. Let there be a reminder that why did we lose our way of life as Egyptians? The Egyptians must tell a story that God killed every seed of evil that was there. Every seed, all those who were going to grow up and become the worst versions of their fathers, God had to make sure that he kills them off right at the very seed. And this is something that he did not only, by the way, with the Egyptians. Mm-hmm. He did it from Eden. In Eden, he said, your seed will crush his head, and his the seed of the snake will bruise the heel of the young man. So there was
cruelty. God was designed a cruelty.
There was,
I like what you're saying. That was going to be 20 times, 50 times.
And he had
to deal it with now.
So God has been making an example for everyone, because the very same example he sets in on the road when all of those idiots who came out of Egypt sinned and revolted against God. The Bible says by the time they arrived in Canaan, none of them were remaining. It's only their children. When God wants to make an example, he kills any and everything. That's what he did with the Amalekites. When he wants to set an example, he wants you to live to tell the story, to say, man, God, when God wanted to end this thing, why sipulas ngambini? He took it even from the roots. So their root of cruelty was the pride of the Egyptians, their firstborn sons.
Was the pride of the Egyptians.
Their firstborn sons.
So do we see God as an unfair God?
So the God is, the issue of fairness is a very ridiculous one. You know, when I ask the question, you must listen to the question. It's very ridiculous. For if I was answering myself, I would say, what a ridiculous question, because the standard of right doesn't come from men. It comes from God.
From God.
God is the one that says, thou shalt not kill. The very same God, when he decides killing is right, he says, go and kill all the Amalekites. So it is not us who decide whether right is wrong. It is God who decides right and wrong. Sometimes when God feels like it, killing is right. That's why he kills firstborn children. He kills them all. But sometimes God says killing is wrong. So the standard of fair is on God. It would only be a fool who's going to think he will give God his own standards, because God is the one who says, yes, kill everything. And then God says, no, you don't kill. The very same, the two siblings, Miriam and Aaron, both of them are gossiping. But God doesn't give Aaron the leprosy. He gives the woman leprosy. But both of them were doing the very same sin. Which means the decision as to what will befall anyone's punishment is God. What kind of a fool would you be to say, but why did God give the woman leprosy and Aaron no leprosy? It is because God decides.
Yes.
No one was complaining when Eve comes and talks to snakes, but God doesn't punish Eve. He punishes Adam. No one complains. No one says, but God is unfair. Women don't say, no, God, you must blame us. No. They are happy when Adam is going to take the blame. And yet, exactly. And no one complains. No woman says, "Hi, Tiko, you must give us the blame. We are the one who spoke to the snake." No. Throughout the Bible says, I'm going to punish the man for sin It is the man who brought the sin into the world. And women sit there and giggle. Yes, Lord, it is Adam. And yet you know the truth. You know the truth. It is you who spoke truth. So the idea of fairness falls out the window. People don't say, God must be fair, or he must blame women. No. Everyone accept that God has decided he's going to blame man for the sin of bringing sin into the world. And no one complains about fairness. So the idea of fairness really is a ridiculous argument. But then again, I had to ask the question, Vangel. My job is to ask those questions, ridiculous as they are, so that you can answer them. Our time is up, Vangel. I think I'm grateful for you to come through.
Enjoy your Sabbath, my man. See you again.
Thank you very much. Have a wonderful day, Vangel. Have a wonderful day. Goes.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.